Bob.
You take us away.
Take it away.
This is what should be done by the one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest sin that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, or eating none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart, should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
So just a quick intro. My name is Ajahn Santuthi, for the new people that come here for the first time. And I've been living here for about 9 months now, and I've been training as a monk for about 14 years. And yeah, Ajahn Brahm is my teacher, and the reason why I'm here is because he kicked me out. He kicked me out for being too, I don't know.
Quiet.
Too quiet, yes. Anyway, so it's we just, on Monday nights we have a meditation class, and for the first 15 minutes we just talk, I just talk a little bit about meditation, and just giving people a few tips and tricks so that one can calm their minds down. But it's interesting enough, the reasons why monks become monks or people become Buddhist is because not to meditate to become peaceful, but to meditate so one can become enlightened or end all suffering. But the side effects of the path of meditation is the experience or the attainment of like a peaceful mind or a calm mind. And that's I think that's one of the main things that attract a lot of people to the meditation, especially in the West, is the idea of developing a calm, peaceful and quiet mind. And interesting enough, the Buddha did talk about many different ways of how we can find that peace. And one of the ways that I was reading up on is the idea of looking at life in a different way. And and that's the funny thing, you know, if you talk to a monk, Ajahn Brahmali, Ajahn Brahm, Ajahn Api, we just give you a different way of looking at life, opposed to how the average person does look at life. And the Buddha's way of looking at life is to see life in a way where one doesn't develop too much attachment or too much craving towards the things that we have in our lives, because with that attachment and craving, we tend to hold on to things, and that creates more thoughts and more turbulence within the mind. So the Buddha did ask us to look at life in a different way, and to investigate life and what it really is, and to see, you know, human beings, we get caught up in life, especially in the pursuit of happiness. Yeah, we think in life, if we make enough money, we'll become happy. I don't know anything about that. I'm a monk. I have no money. So, and also in life, we look for happiness in life, like in travel, or with our friends, or some of us like to study and we look for the intellectual satisfaction. But yes, that's all very well, but you can see how this looking for things can create more, you know, more activity in our mind, a sense of like discontentment, you know, because we're searching for the next thing. We're not happy where we are, so we look for something else. And Ajahn Chah he talked about, you know, like, you know, people in the world, or just even monks, you know, we get caught up in the idea of craving for things. And he talked about the like us people, we are looking for like the turtle with the mustache. I'm sure you heard about that.
No.
Right?
No.
So yeah, like we're looking for the turtle with the mustache, which the turtle with the mustache represents like true happiness, happiness that could be found in money, happiness that could be found in material gains, or happiness that could be found in the successes that you may have in life. And in our lives, we're searching all over the place, all around the world. We travel far looking for the turtle with the mustache. But in reality, there is no turtle with a mustache. So we're actually looking for something that doesn't exist. And we've searched for that in our lives. You know, some of us are old enough to have to reflect on our past and with all the things that we've done. And has that search for happiness in the world outside, has that really brought you happiness? Someone's really shaking their head hard. That's okay, but that's the point that the way sometimes we can look at life to actually see that there really isn't too much to hope for, in a sense of trying to find happiness in our outside world, which is not a terrible thing, to say the least. We are human beings, and just wanting things, you know, is a part of life. And we do get a sense of happiness pursuing these things, but these happinesses don't last very long. And in a sense, they do leave a sense of like emptiness within us, a sense of discontent. And we can see parts of our life in this way, then we want to look for something else to fill up that emptiness or that void of like discontentment. And that's where the Buddhist path comes to be, in terms of learning how to meditate and looking for that that inner happiness and inner peace that one can actually find with this meditation practice. And what happens is, when we start to see the limitations of this life, then we don't spend too much time chasing after these things. Yeah, it's fine. I'm not saying that you should all give up everything and then shave off all your hair and then become monks. But you can just reflect and look at life in this light, and understand that you can understand that hey, there is actually something missing in my life, and because of this, we can start to like give up more things in our lives and start to live a little bit more simply. And with that simplicity in our lives, we have more time to focus on other things, especially our spiritual development, in terms of being more generous. But the main focus here is the time it gives you to be able to meditate. And then it's sort of like you get to the point, it's like, why do I want to go watch that movie for? I've seen hundreds of movies before. Yes, it's exciting, but at the end, it's the same old thing. And then you think, that's wasting my time. I can use that time in a more productive way. I can spend more time meditating and trying to calm my mind down. And I was actually talking to one of the supporters that come here on the Friday, and they're senior people. They got two tickets to watch Avengers Endgame. And then they watched it and they go, oh, what's a crap movie. What a waste of time. So yeah, after so you start looking at life in this kind of way, it's not really a like doom and gloom way of looking at life, but then you're actually being a little bit more realistic about life and its limitations and the promise of happiness that it gives you, but it never delivers. So we try to look for happiness somewhere else, and the Buddhist path has a different type of happiness, and that happiness can be achieved or gained through the practice of meditation. And because we have been looking at life in this kind of way, it does help us in the skill that we're trying to develop called letting go. So just being able to let go, it's in a sense, you have to see life in a way where you don't attach to it too much. For example, like we're talking about the movies, you watch so many movies in your life. And before thinking about it in a way where does it really fulfill you or give you that sense of happiness that you're looking for, and you thought about it and it doesn't really give you that sense of happiness, and then in a sense you just turn away from it, you don't want to watch movies anymore. And then when you start to meditate, you start to see these things in your mind. When you start to your mind will start to just start to think about things or crave about something, and you can see there is some sort of discontent there, because you're putting importance on an idea or where you want to be in 5 years, and you just, after a while, you just take that importance away, and live more in the present moment. I mean, yeah, it is important to think about life and where you're going to be in 5 years, and how much money you want to save up, or how many kids you want to have, and how your kids are going to grow up. Yeah, that's all very important, and it's And there are times that you can spend in your life thinking about it, but how much does it actually consume your mind? And how much, you know, it does, how much peace does it take away? Because as a meditator, when you get to a point where, you know, you do understand that you have to think about things, you have your responsibilities, but you don't take them too seriously, or you don't put too much weight on them. So in a sense, they're like thoughts which do come into the mind, but they don't stay around for too long, because we can see the limitations that these thoughts have. And that's when the letting go happens. This word in Buddhism that is being used a lot, you know, this idea of letting go and being able to just, you know, your mind is sort of like a table. You know, everybody has a table in their room, and we always put stuff on the table, like we put our phones on the table, we put pens, our wallet, I don't know what else, but you know, we're always putting stuff on the table. And in a sense, meditation is, our mind is like a table, and we keep on putting stuff on it. And the idea of meditation is to be able to just clear that table away and have a clear mind, a quiet mind. But that's the, you know, that's the skill that that one is trying to develop when they're learning how to meditate, is to be able to clear that table. And we get that skill from just understanding how important a peaceful mind is. We get that skill because we value the silence of the mind. And yeah, it just happens. You just know that, hey, this is, you know, there's no point having too much clutter in your mind. It just messes up things. It takes away all the peace and inner happiness that one can, you know, experience and sort of like achieve within this meditation. And you know, meditation is a wonderful thing, is a beautiful skill that people can learn. Just imagine just having the ability to just be peaceful and to be calm. Yeah, you know, we live a life where we just have too much junk in our heads. And just having that ability to just take some time out and just sit down with our eyes closed and just have nothing there. And that's not like true peace, but it's like peaceful enough, and it's something which is you know, enjoyable, and something which is very relaxing. And it's something that, you know, it's you know, people come here and we're trying to achieve it, and we have these big ideas about it, and then we go and talk to our friends about it and saying how great it is, and yeah, that's all wonderful. But the experience of it, you can't really describe it in words. It's something that you have to feel and know for yourself. And it's that one thing that you know, when you get to the point where you actually enjoy doing it, it's something that you can you know, add into your life on a daily basis. Is a time for you to have a break from everything, and just being able to just, you know, rest and relax. Because yeah, life can be busy, and sometimes it's nice to be lazy. Just to be able to just free your afternoon, so you don't have to do much. So you can close your eyes whenever you want to, and just sit down and be peaceful. You know, it's that simple. And the reasons why you can be peaceful is because you're not really searching for the happinesses in the world. You're not looking for the next thing to do. In a sense, you are content with your life or what it is. And you know, just getting to that point and be able to be able to create a life like that for yourself is, I think, very beneficial. So we can start to meditate. So we just guide you through a half an hour meditation, and it's just very simple activity. It's not rocket science, and we're just sitting here with our eyes closed, getting our bodies into a very relaxed position. Just being able to have a break from the busyness of life. So when we're meditating, we're just trying to be in the present moment. And just take away the craving, because all craving does is it takes the mind into the future. We crave for peace because peace isn't here. So our mind is thinking about the future. We crave to be able to focus on the breath, but the breath is not here now, so that craving is actually taking our minds away from the present moment and into the future. Instead of wanting to be peaceful, we start to take away that wanting and instead just be with whatever's happening now. And meditation is not an exercise where you're forcing your mind to be quiet, or you're not like sports people who marathon runners. They push themselves, they will themselves, so they can run for many, many hours, so they can cross the finishing line. And that's the and when we meditate, we take away all that will. All that trying, and instead we just learn how to relax. Just imagine yourself in the middle of nowhere, in a safe place where you're not going to get hurt. Everything is comfortable, nothing to worry about. So that brings your mind into a place where you can just relax, you can just be. How often do we give ourselves the chance to be able to sit down and do absolutely nothing? We don't have our minds telling us what to do. We don't have our minds telling us to go check our emails or get something to eat or do some work at home. We don't have to do any of that now. Isn't that, you know, it's quite awesome, it's pretty awesome to be able to just forget about your whole world for these moments. After a while, you start to feel calm, calmer. Your mind is slowly sinking into more peaceful or peaceful states. And all we gotta do is just know whatever's happening now. Now isn't the time for you to think about what's going to happen tomorrow. Some of us, we like to dream about our futures, dream about where we're going to be in 5 years' time. Now is not the time for that. Now is the time for the mind to know what is happening now So when we're meditating, we're just being aware of the present moment. Being aware of our object of choice, whether it's the breath or whether it's body sweeping. But what's more important than that is just a sense of calm overcoming us, a sense of being relaxed. When we can be calm within our meditation, this is when we can start to truly appreciate why we're doing this. You start to appreciate why we meditate. Is to be able to experience this calm that comes along with whatever meditation object you're watching. Because this calm is something that you can't experience anywhere else. This calm, you can't experience it at work or on a plane flying to your holiday destination. This calm can't be experienced when you're driving in the car coming to this monastery, or even when you're spending time with your loved ones. This calm is not there. The only place where you can find this calm is in the meditation. So then, meditation is very simple. You just have to do it. There's no scientific formula that you have to figure out. There's no university degrees that you have to pass. Something which is simple, something that if we can just put our minds in the here and now, then we can start to receive the benefits of having a mind which can just be in the moment, live in the moment. And in a sense, you are giving yourself a gift of freedom from all the things that we have to do when we get home, things that we have to do tomorrow. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, even kids. They come here to meditate. So if you're having a difficult time, especially if you're new to meditation, it can be hard. Just remember that we need to be patient. Just give it time. You have to meditate a lot so the mind can calm down naturally. And it's simple. If it's difficult, just try to be calm within that difficulty. Because if you can give calmness to your mind, and then eventually your mind will give calmness back to you. But for the time being, if it's difficult, we just need to, in a sense, tough it out. Have a bit of faith that it does work. Because it has worked for other people. How's the meditation?
Okay.
He was like this. Was it? Ajahn Brahm calls it flat out meditation. Any questions? Comments? Complaints? No. Any difficulties? Anyways, so yeah, so just for the newer people, who is that like your first time meditating or meditated before? So you have an understanding of how it works. Yeah. Just talk about it generally, about the practice of meditation and how it develops over the years that one continues the path of meditation. As always, you know, the beginning is quite difficult. The mind can be very, 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 very restless, and that sometimes it gets to the point where you think there's no peace in your mind. There's no quietness or even no enjoyment when it comes to the meditation practice. But then to be able to get to that point where your mind actually does become peaceful and actually enjoyable, you know, one has to put in the time and the practice, and you know, Ajahn Chah would say that he would like compare different types of meditators. And there would be the meditator that would just go on retreats, like, so you could say, you know, Jhana Grove in Serpentine, they may have 3 or 4 retreats a year. So they just go to those retreats, and they get a bit of peace, and then when they leave the retreat, they don't practice anymore, so they lose what they've gained. And he said, yeah, that's one way of practice, but it's a better way of practice if we can keep the meditation a consistent thing or practice in our lives. So when he talks, you know, when he talks about that, what comes to mind is a consistent practice is something that we can try to do every day and add it into our lives. And for some people, you know, morning times are good or the evening times are okay, but the most important thing is to do it all the time. And when we start doing it all the time, we can actually start to see what is actually happening in our own minds. And I always tell people is that you learn more from watching your own mind than coming here and listening to what I have to say, because what your mind teaches you is it teaches you what a peaceful mind is and what a peaceful mind isn't. And so after a while you get to understand that, and you get to understand what you understand about your own mind is what makes it happy and what doesn't make it happy. So you meditate and you observe and you see, and you come to the conclusion that a mind which is, you know, restless or thinking too much, that doesn't bring you much happiness. It actually gives you more frustration. It makes you more uptight. And then you sit and you observe your mind and you start to see more, you know, more calm and more clarity arising within your mind. And then your mind looks at it and it says, oh yeah, this is a little bit more, this is peaceful. This is actually enjoyable. And that's where we learn. Human beings are simple. We're simple human. We don't like anything, we don't do it, right? If we like something, then we do it. It's, you could say that's, is instinctual or just the way we're made up. And then we can take that same approach when we're learning how to meditate. And if we do it on a daily basis, we can see what our mind actually likes and what it doesn't. And when your mind starts to see that, hey, it actually starts liking this peace or this calm, then it will start going back there more often. And with anything, you know, the mental states of the mind is like a muscle. And the more you actually focus on it, the stronger it becomes. And in a way, you are like changing the way your mind works. So after a while, after many years of meditating, when you reflect back when you first started meditating, you first started as a beginner, you'll just sit and you'll start thinking about what you want to do today or what you want to do tomorrow. But then after many years, after learning that you know, planning and thinking is not really worthwhile, you start to go, instead of going having that habit, you have the habit of just going back to that peace and that calm. So when you sit down, it doesn't take much time to get to that place, because that place is something that you know, and that place of the mind is something that you want to be in. So in a sense, that's how you learn how to that's how you learn from watching your own mind. And over the years, that the muscles of like calm and peace, they start to grow, and they start to like become more prominent in your mind. It's sort of, I always give the example, your mind is like a, you know, it's like a cup, and you only can put so much in it. You know, as a beginner, I'm trying to meditate, whatever's in the cup is like thoughts about this, thoughts about that, these things that make you feel uncomfortable, that cup is filled with those kinds of things. And because it's so full, there's no room for peace. There's no room for stillness. But then over the years, it changes. You become more peaceful, you become more still, and those thoughts are like, they get pushed out of the way. And in a sense, you get to the point where there's more peace in that cup than thoughts. So when you're sitting down, like I was saying earlier, when you're meditating, there's more calm in the mind with whatever you're experiencing. You know, you can be, you can have that sense of calm within the present moment. Or if you're thinking about something, like you have to think about something, sometimes you have to plan, like, you know, if I have to do something tomorrow, I have to think about it, or when I give a talk, I don't think about it. But there's always that sense of calm that comes along with it. And I think that's something which is something that I think everybody that comes here, that's what we're looking for. Yeah? Mm-hmm. It's safe to say. That's what we're looking for, is to be able to be calm within whatever situation that presents us in life. And just reading, just like flicking through the suttas, the Buddha's words, and it's very interesting how he would describe how the mind works. It's very simple, but it's quite profound. And he makes the statement that whatever's arisen in the mind, that's something that stays in the mind for a long time. And you know, you can just think about it, is whatever is already in your mind is there for a long time. And like you can take the example, like angry people, right? Angry people, the anger has already arisen in their minds, and that anger just hangs around. It doesn't really, it does disappear from time to time, but it's something very difficult for them to let go of. You know, the Buddha would use like something, he would say like, it's arisen in the mind and it remains, and it stays and it grows. And that's something which is very interesting, because sometimes when we look at our mind, we think it's our emotions, and our emotions are impermanent. It's like one moment we're happy, the next moment we're angry, the next moment we're calm. And it chops and changes very quickly in our lives. But that's not the case. Well, the point the Buddha is making here is that whatever that arises within your mind, that remains. So if you're generally, you know, if you're having a bad time, if you're having a bad day, is whatever happens in your day, whatever anybody says, you're just pissed off. Because it is true what the Buddha was saying. It's something like I was trying to point out earlier, is something which you developed over time, and it becomes a habit in your mind, and that's who you become, and which is very interesting. So you can say, but when it comes to like the practice of meditation or even training our minds, we can train it in the other direction. So we can train it to the point where we are more, you could say, more calm and happier people. And that arises in the mind and it remains. And you do see examples of this when you meet, like when you meet monks, you meet this, there's monks around, you meet people and there's some people who are just jolly, you know, why are they always jolly? Or you meet people and sometimes, you know, they're always calm and, you know, collective, and that's sort of like, it becomes a part of who they are. And it is true when you think about it, what the Buddha was saying. It's, something which arises and it stays, it just stays with you, in a sense. And there's this famous monk in Thailand, and people from even Australia, they go and visit him. And he's known as the happy monk, and he's just always happy. And I think that's a testament of if you train your mind, and if you really want to develop it, you can get it to the point where it's in a good place. Yeah, it's in a good place. It's sort of like, I think Ajahn Brahm once says, you know, life, you can develop your mind to the point where life is 90% of the time happy and 10% of the time unhappy. But then we have to work at it. That's the main thing. And like I said before, you know, you only come here once a week. How often do you listen to a Dhamma talk? Not very often. How often do you read the books? Not very often. So a place where we can all start is to just start reading our own minds and looking at into our own hearts and work with that. These people will come up, ask these great masters, oh, what book should I read? What sutta should I read? And they would say, just read the Heart Sutta. So basically, you have to have, I think, as human beings, we're just looking for a bit of happiness, and then we have to look at ourselves and see what we can do within ourselves to make our lives happier, instead of looking outside, you know, next Gucci bag, next paycheck, or, you know, next holiday. You know, I have brothers, I have friends, and always looking somewhere else. And they go on a holiday and they come back, ooh, it was a wonderful time, I'm just so happy, blah blah blah, and then 10 minutes later they're shouting at their kids. You know, it's like, yeah, you weren't looking for happiness, but then it just disappears when your kid plays up. So in a sense, yeah, happiness, you can find a little bit of it outside, but it's more important to look within and just see what you have to do. See what you have to let go of. See what you have to restrain. To just bring that little bit more like happiness within yourself. And that way you can just live a simple, easy, peaceful life. You know what I mean?
Easy.
With no trouble. Yeah. Anyways, I think I've bored you enough. Anyways, very good.
We're all happy now.
You're all happy now. Okay, Bob. Bob, take it away.
The goodness
that arises from my practice,
may my spiritual teachings and guides of great virtue,
my mother, my father, and my relatives,
the sun and the moon,
and
all virtuous leaders of the world,
may
the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings,
guardian spirits of the earth,
and the Lord of death,
may those who are friendly,
indifferent,
or hostile,
may all beings receive the blessings of my life,
may they soon attain the threefold bliss,
and realize the deathless,
through the goodness that arises from my practice,
and through this act of sharing,
may all desires and attachments quickly cease,
and all harmful states of mind,
until I realize nirvana
in every kind of birth.
May I have an upright mind,
with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor.
May the forces of delusion not take hold,
nor weaken my resolve.
The Buddha is my excellent refuge.
Unsurpassed is the protection of the Dhamma.
The solitary Buddha is my noble lord.
The Sangha is my supreme support.
Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled.